On this episode of Discipline Over Fear.
That's picking out a vision that's wrong.
Right.
That's another thing that people do. I'm going to pick out a vision that's wrong for me because my motives are wrong. And then I'm going to also pick disciplines that don't line up with the vision. So there's these different things. I can pick a vision that's wrong. I can pick a discipline that's wrong. I could pick a vision that's right and the discipline's wrong. I could pick the wrong vision and the right disciplines for that vision. But if I'm not the person that can accomplish that. So
back to the drawing board. Yeah.
Back to the drawing board.
What do you see? Vision. The actor power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. What do you see? Without vision, hope dies. Without vision, you can't see beyond what's in front of you. Vision allows you to filter through the natural world and peer into the depths of your own soul.
Base, please.
But you must acquire grit and build a case against your circumstances by borrowing evidence from your preferred future. Because when what you see with your natural eye doesn't match what you think, and your thoughts don't agree with your emotions, you'll be tempted to quit. But you don't quit. You adjust the angle and increase the power of the vision from within.
Let the beat, please.
So create a vision of your future. Establish an authentic picture. One that's origins are anchored in your true nature and driven by your beliefs. Immerse your imagination with an authentic version of your vision, because that's the only way you'll recognize the counterfeits. It can't be faked or copied, nor borrowed from another. Therefore, it can't come from outside. Nick and I discuss New Year's resolutions, baseball statistics, and compounding interest. So many of us say, I'll start tomorrow, next week, next month, or even next year. But what if the success of our plans depends not so much on what we choose to do tomorrow, but on the very thing we choose to do next? In our attempts to make improvements in our lives, we look for the home run. But the home run may not even be the most valuable statistic in baseball, much less our dreams. Perhaps success is found by understanding our motives and assessing where we are in proximity to our dreams. Maybe if we do these things, we'd find that success is nearer to us right now than any other day that might be in front of us. I hope you enjoy this episode. Happy listening.
And the barber's got to know my hair because it's crazy. And I'm very particular. So, I mean, I had my barber in Key West and then I moved up here and I tried the first guy when I first moved here and it was horrible. And then I found another guy. And I find him like through Instagram and Booksy, the app where I book my appointments. And the second guy, his name was Carlos, I booked him. And I go to my first appointment. You don't talk to him or anything. And I'm driving, I'm following the navigation. I'm like, all right, this is kind of weird. So I turn on the last street and it has me pull into like a duplex, like a two-sided house.
Uh-huh.
I'm like where the heck am I? So I call this dude and he doesn't pick up. And I'm just standing like in the front of this porch, like with stuff everywhere. And he finally calls back and he doesn't really speak English. And I speak a very little bit of Spanish. So I was able to, he's like, okay, give me 10 minutes. I was like, okay, I'll just wait in my car, but I'm at the right place. So eventually fast forward, it was the right place. Brings me back in the backyard. There's like four pit bulls walking around and we go into a shed in his backyard.
What?
And he's kind of got it decked out like a little barbershop. So, and this is right before we went to Disney. Like I think it was the day before. And I think we actually recorded. I think we recorded the next morning after I got my first haircut with him. Anyways, this guy was incredible. One of the best haircuts I ever got.
So isn't that the way it is though? Then you think about the best diners.
Yeah,
places that are dives. You see these places where people are, they spend all this money on the location or whatever,
right?
Or they spend all this money on certifications, and they suck at something.
Exactly. No, it's true, and especially with this. So I go into this dude's shed, and he laces me up, and it's so tight. And I look at it, I was like, dude, this is perfect. And so I booked the second appointment with him like a month later, same great haircut. And then I went to book my third appointment. And then I just call him because I had off that week. It was over the holidays, and I call him a couple days before just to make sure. And he's like, yeah, I moved. So I was like, all right, just text me the address. So he texts me like a few minutes later. It's in Miami Beach. So anyway, so that leaves me. I finally found another barber I want to try, and he canceled on me last week because he had COVID. So I'm rocking the bush.
You want me to cut it?
Sure. Why not? At this point, man, I'm looking for anything.
That's why I keep it clean.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
I don't need to find somebody to do the work. Just do it myself.
It's much cheaper. It's more efficient.
Yeah.
Like when I first moved here, I actually just shaved my head on a one. It was like a fresh reset, and it felt great. It was so easy. I didn't have to do anything. I put olive oil on my head every day. It was great.
Olive oil.
Yeah.
Just never tried the olive oil. Keep it soft.
Yeah. It's like an Italian's baby oil.
What would a black man's baby oil be? Baby oil?
Baby oil. Yep. I know that firsthand.
Speaking of baby oils, my kids are really greasing me up.
Yeah, how is the baby?
He's doing well. He's a little good. Fussy the last few hours. Well, I guess all day he's been fussy. I just haven't been with him the whole time.
Right.
So it happens, nice. I guess.
Yeah, I can't speak to it as much as my wife, but
I just can't remember anything. That
heavy lifting. Oh God,
I can't remember because it's been 4 years.
Yeah,
4 years since my last go round. So
wait, so your daughter's four?
She's four. She'll be five in April.
Oh wow, yeah, my son will be five in September.
Oh okay.
I didn't realize they were that close.
They're close, close in age.
Yeah.
You and I aren't that close in age.
I think in certain ways we might be.
You just figured things out before I did.
I don't have anything figured out, man. I'm just going with the flow.
I know.
I'm freestyling it.
I know. I was just talking to somebody the other day. Well, I guess it came up because we're just talking about how hard things seem relative to 4 years ago. And a friend of mine was saying that, so they have eight kids, and she's,
holy crap.
They were having, they've been, I think 15 years. She was having kids. I think it was 15 year span. And she said, I said, I don't know if it's because I'm 40 years old that it just seems so exhausting. She said, I will tell you this. It is different having kids in your 20s than in your mid 30s. And because she had her twins when she was 35, I think.
Okay.
So she said it was different. It was different. It was easier as a young person. So I guess it might be a young man's game. But 40 years old, a friend of mine, I went to high school with, we were all in this chat on Facebook, and people started saying, oh, Joel, by the way, congratulations on the new baby. Mm. And he graduated the same year that I did. And he goes, yeah, Joel, way to just go into that horror at 40 years old, starting that all over again.
Yeah, but if anyone can do it, you can.
I don't know. It's been
you're not a normal 40 year old.
It's been I will say, if I hadn't been as disciplined over the last several years as I've been, this would be tough, because it's tough right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not I don't get to do the things that I want to do in terms of waking up at a certain time every day, going to bed at a certain time every day.
Right.
And I guess it just, I don't know. You talk about preparing yourself for the next battle. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always go as planned. And so I was saying the other day to somebody, we spend so much time preparing for what might happen or preparing for the worst that we don't spend enough time preparing ourselves for whatever might happen. So
it's just not spending enough time in the present moment. Which I think that's where everything is. And I think I've talked about it before, and it just kind of reminded me the other day we were driving up to Orlando and listening to a podcast, you know, what's his name? Jason Bateman.
Yes.
Ozark. He's amazing. Arrested Development.
Yep.
So him, Will Arnett, and, forget the third guy. They have a podcast. It's funny. They have all these awesome people.
I've heard it once.
Smartless. It's called Smartless. Yeah.
Yep.
Super funny. And they were, who were they talking to? They were either talking to Will Ferrell or, no, you know, it was Robert Downey Jr. And
okay.
Robert Downey, I mean, amazing. One of the biggest actors. Everyone knows that. I don't need to vouch for him, but obviously for anybody who doesn't know, he had all those issues in his early life. Like he spent time in jail, huge addict. And then before he kind of channeled that energy, as he was, I've heard him on a couple podcasts talking about it. But then they just started going into like living in the present moment. And again, I read a book years ago and I've read it over a few times called Be Here Now, which is that. Which just ties to your point, you know, preparing for the future, worried about the future, which is anxiety, you know, dwelling on your past of what you could have done better. But I mean, we're all just kind of living right now. So it is touched on when you're actually in that moment, how much better life is, like when you're just fully immersed or as immersed as possible in what's going on right then and there.
Right. It's
a hard concept.
Well, I think that's part of... That's the only way you can prepare, right? I mean, you can't prepare for everything if you're thinking about everything, which is strange, sure. But it's, no, when it's you're true. When you're in the moment and you're working on a discipline, you're working on a skill, which I believe disciplines are, you're developing a skill. If you're not there focused in the moment, you don't develop, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change you. Because you're so worried about everything else, which makes it, I mean, and we always come back to this, we're distracted. We're a distracted people, and everything around us.
We got monkey brains. Yeah.
we're easily enticed by what somebody else is doing. We want to know what's better on the other side. We want to try something mm-hmm. new and different, and it makes it very difficult. And I think that's where the new year begins, and everybody has this idea of what they're going to accomplish. And I think it, when you're looking forward to starting something later, it the chance of it happening are, it's kind of slim. It's almost sure. like playing for overtime.
Oh, God. It's
too soon for that. But I just think that when you live kind of scared of what might be or regretting what has been, and
totally.
You're thinking about, oh, well, maybe I'll start on Monday or I'll start next month, or you're always thinking about the next day and you're
right.
So
no, it's tough. And you're absolutely right from what you were touching on before, because about being like tired and having all these things going on, you know, with kids and babies. You know, we talk about discipline all the time, and which is, it's nothing to take away from. But yeah, I mean, it's been much more difficult the past 4 years for me, you know, moving around a couple times, which is all for a purpose, and having one kid, then another, which is the most amazing blessing. But it's so hard to focus, and it's so hard. I mean, think about how many times, like, how hard it is for us to get together to have these conversations sometimes.
Right. Right.
And again, we're not superstars. We're not movie stars. We're not, you know, but it's still, when you have that stuff going on at home and, you know, we're trying to instill these disciplines, and we know what it's like to have these disciplines and be successful with them during periods of time. So yeah, it's been difficult. So I completely understand what you're saying.
Wanted to start this year off with a bang and have all these plans. And so it, as I started kind of honing in on what I wanted the podcast to be, and now that it's rebranded and out there, overcoming these, I think a lot of stuff that we do is based in fear. Even when I've heard it said, what makes a good athlete is that there's a fear of failing or fear of losing or whatever. It's not an overwhelming fear or a debilitating fear, but there's still something there.
That thing buzzing in the back of your head. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I can't lose this or whatever it might be. But what I found over the years for myself is that that fear, the debilitating fear, has really kept me from doing the things that I want to do. And when you have other outside factors like children and everything else, and you're still dealing with this overwhelming fear, it makes it really difficult to do much of anything. So that's really why I wanted to do that the rebranding of the podcast and really make it so people knew what they were listening to, what they were looking for. And the first thing I wanted to really address was the new year and what people are doing, because there's a lot of people who are going into the new year and they're thinking, okay, I'm going to do something different. And so on the last episode was a monologue, and I just talked about the engine that could, and how everything.
I listened to that. That was great.
You like that? Thanks. I did. It just, everything, we wonder why we believe the things that we believe about ourselves and our future. And when I think the first place that we start is, hey, if I can build some momentum with something brand new and shiny, like a new day or a new year, I think we use that as kind of the catalyst, and I don't think it really lasts long. I mean, think how many people have said, okay, next week I'm going to do it, or next week I'm going to make that decision. Well, like you were saying, the moment is now. Like, don't stuff cake in your face at the same time you're saying, okay, I'm going to then make the decision next week. Well, you've already made the wrong decision. So, I really do think that people, I think it's a good idea that people have, but I don't think it's necessarily sustainable.
No, I totally agree. And again, I'm not speaking from a standpoint of, hey, like, you know, I'm setting all these goals. I'm living in the moment, you know, every single second, and I'm executing these things that we're talking about. No, I struggle with them all the time. But that's in part, you know, that's why I enjoy talking about them.
Right.
I did want to say something for anybody who listens to this, how much more polished Joel sounds than I do. He's got a fancy microphone and I don't. So every time I listen to our episodes, I always think about that. So anyways, but yeah, I mean, again, I've gone through periods where, and it, you mentioned it earlier about how much easier things were before children, you know, before responsibilities and all that. And those are the reasons I was able to kind of make a plan and stick to them and dedicate all my energy to them, because there was nothing else.
Right.
Maybe a paper to do, or, you know,
but you don't go to work. Don't you look back and think, with all the things that I've realized that I want to do now, if I had only known when I had all that time, how much I could have gotten done.
All the time.
But that, I think with that idea of all the things that we want to accomplish with our lives and all the things that pull at us, this is probably what a lot of people think. They try to make up for it, or they try to do too much. And I think that might be one of the reasons why resolutions and the next day don't work, because if I only get to Monday, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up 2 hours early, exercise, I'm going to eat this immaculate breakfast, dip, blah, 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 blah. And then it's not sustainable.
And how do you maintain that?
You're not conditioned to do that every day. That's what it is. You're not conditioned to do it. You're conditioned to do what you were doing when you said tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Today, I'm going to do what I've been conditioned to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a culmination for me, you know, of being distracted for a while for great things. But then again, trying to, now that I'm kind of settled in the place that we want to be, we've talked about this, just, I don't have like a specific goal in mind. Like in 4 months, I have a show. I want to build this lifestyle. I know I have to, I'm starting to realize now I have to do it slowly, incrementally, one thing at a time, slowly build these habits, make them sustainable. And then when I'm ready to take the next step, or just anybody, then that's when you do it, you know, one step at a time, no matter what the pace is. And there's no hesitate. You can't hesitate, because I push it off.
What do you think of this thought? The issue is that we make the resolution the goal. What do you think of that? That's the thought.
So the issue is we make the resolution the goal. Yeah, I mean, because the too much thought, too much energy, too much anxiety gets wrapped up into the resolution rather than what the original idea of what that resolution is supposed to be. So
it's kind of like the target. When you have a target as a single dot on a map, it's easy to get turned around because you're just focused on this single dot. But what's between you and the dot?
I think
that's why you have to know your why. And I think that's why things become clearer for us when we have kids and stuff, because then the why becomes stronger, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's harder. It's a much steeper mountain to climb.
Right. But
yes, the why becomes more clear if your head's screwed on straight, or like me, halfway straight. It becomes so much more meaningful. And so
have you started to use that why, and then create instead of making those goals? Because I mean, you had the goal when you were preparing for a show, you had the goal, but you had things that somebody coached you on doing in order to get to that final goal. But now we have to do that on our own, and we have to seek out what's best for us. Have you found yourself more capable of doing that?
Getting there. You know, again, with all the distractions, what I've gotten wrapped up in, everybody has different approaches, or they struggle with different things. It's not a singular struggle for everybody. But a lot of people struggle with the vision and coming up with a plan and knowing all the things to prioritize. And from what I've done in the past, whether it be sports or competing or just a lifestyle, you know, that I could just focus on myself, I've come up with a million of what bulletproof plans and what to eat and, you know, when to eat. And, you know, I'm listening to people all the time and I know it works for my body, but for me, it's just been, it's been having to slow it down and simplify it. I know, I realized I can't jump into all that stuff all at once. So I've slowly started incorporating like maybe one consistency a week or one consistency for a few weeks. And when I've gone 3 weeks with being consistent with this one thing, For example, okay, I want to read one chapter a night, or read for 20 minutes a night. I'm not going to focus on anything else. If I have the wherewithal and in the present moment to eat right or to do something, of course, take advantage of it. But I'm not going to put my energy into expecting myself to do this every single time until I'm ready to take that step.
Right.
So for me, it's been slowing my thought process down, realizing I can't take on all those things at once right now.
It's not going for the home run all the time.
Right, because I don't have a time crunch right now. I've wanted to incorporate this organically to make it my lifestyle, not a singular goal 4 months down the road.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's been a slow process. Of course, I had high expectations, which I know you do, and I want to have everything set and running right now, but I've had a few consistencies and a couple setbacks, nothing major, but that I've been able to get a little bit of momentum on. And I'm just going to try and build on that momentum every day. So
mm-hmm. You're not trying to create some false, or I guess you're not trying to create a facade for people to recognize you. You're trying to create the real thing.
Correct. I think
so many people they're more interested in what it looks like to everybody else rather than, mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says it's building on sand or on rock. You can build your house on the sand, but when the storm comes, when the waters come, it's going to wash that away. And you see a lot of people who are, let me go for the big, big win on Instagram, and everybody's going to be like, oh my goodness, and give you the applaud. They're going to comment on your post. I'm going to do mm-hmm. this, that, and the other. Oh my goodness, I can't believe that you went to the gym 5 days in a row in January. That's so amazing. Right. And then in February, you haven't gone to the gym since the 5 days
right.
in January.
Right.
And I think that's when I'm coaching my athletes who want to do the big things. How difficult is it for young kids to understand that if I want to squat more, I have to improve my range of motion. I have to build slowly. I have
yeah,
to
I mean, it's work it's progression.
Rest has to be on point. I have to take my rest days, convincing them to take a rest day. It's tough.
No, it's very tough because there's so many steps and it's so incremental. So
yeah, and if you're not doing it for the right kids reason.
Correct. Yeah. You have to have the right motive. You have to have, it's the foundation. That's part of the foundation you're saying. So part of that rock, something that's not going to be washed away. It starts with what's the motivation? What's the purpose of it?
Right.
Is it for attention? Is it for some fake facade you want to build of yourself, or is it because you truly want to be there for your kids and be a good role model and be healthy for them and live, you know, live the life that God has laid out for us in the best way possible?
So you have to have a why. You have to have your why, and you have to have a good reason. Excuse me. And then I think also, as you're kind of charting it out, you have to have the right markers, the right goals in between. And what am I going for now?
Right.
So I was reading
what's an article. My measurable?
Right. I was reading an article about baseball, of all things. You know how much I love baseball.
Yeah.
And the article
I read through, I read through
did
that.
Did you read that? So they were
not every word, but yeah.
Yeah. They were trying to figure out what's the best stat. Baseball is all about stats. What is the best stat? And everybody knows the regular ones. There's some in here, this article, that I didn't even understand, like BABIP and WAR and just all these crazy stats. And so they were asking them, well, what's the most important stat for these players? And there's on-base percentage, there's slugging percentage, but then there's this thing called the OPS. Have you ever heard of these stats before? I've heard of on-base percentage and slugging percentage, but OPS, it's a new one.
I've never played baseball. I've played bar league softball.
I've never played baseball well, but so this.
Yeah,
this,
I mean, so I don't know.
This stat takes percentage It takes your on-base percentage and your slugging percentage to get one single number. And they have their way of figuring it out. But the reason why some of these hitters like Mike Trout like it is because it tells a complete story. It gives it gives you something to shoot for rather than just swinging for the fences.
Sure.
It gives you something rather than just a guy who gets on base, he walks a lot, and then somebody else hits him in. It takes all that stuff. So it was a new stat, and what struck me was how these hitters are kind of developing their game now around this stat. And they're rather than just swinging for the fences, you're becoming a complete hitter again, because that's what's been missing in baseball for years.
Again, just because I've never really played baseball. So, yeah, you had guys coming in, I'd assume, starting back, like a Mark McGwire leading to Mike Trout, all these guys. And I only know a few. Like, they just want to swing for the fences, home runs.
Well, but you're talking surprisingly, so there was another article. The other article that I sent you, it had this, Mike Piazza was talking about the hitters. And Gavin DeGrom were in the article, and they were talking about what is called launch point. And this launch point is where you're kind of have this angle that you're swinging to try increase the carry of the ball.
Okay.
And so Gavin DeGrom in that second article, he starts talking about how he says, if you're going to swing like that, I'm going to attack that because there's a weakness there. So he would throw, if you're going to swing a launch point with your bat coming up like this, I'm going to throw you a high fastball. And the idea of hitting is that you're supposed to get your bat into the zone and keep it in the zone as long as possible. And Mike Piazza is talking about how these hitters don't do that anymore. He says too many hitters are swinging at all these crappy pitches, and runners aren't, they're focused on hitting the ball out of the park instead of hitting it back through the box, which is right back up the middle.
Right.
And so just looking at these two articles, you see these guys who are swinging for the fences. And what you've seen is all these strikeouts that are happening. And in the article, they said there were four teams, I think this was last year, there were four teams that had more hits than strikeouts.
More hits than strikeouts. Four teams, you said?
Four. There were like four teams that had more hits
as
a team than they had strikeouts. So the teams are striking out more than they're actually hitting the ball. And so... crazy. What happens when you're striking out? Well, you're not driving in as many runs. You're not having as many people on base. And so what they're looking at is that stat to say, okay, we want people to get on base, but then we want everybody else to drive those people back in. And it doesn't matter who you are in the lineup. If everybody has that high OPS, that means we're going to win games.
And it's so like time of possession.
Yeah, like that. So the team that has the most hits is the Houston Astros, who keep winning now. And there but I bring that up because it kind of identifies what you're focusing on, the disciplines that you have, the markers that you have, the goals, the intermittent goals that you have can really define your behaviors and your actions. It can define how you practice. It can define how you get out of bed each and every day. It defines your approach at the plate. It defines your approach in the batting cage. It defines your approach in your mental game. And that carries over into games. So if we're making a goal, let's just say everybody's goal for the new year I want to lose 50 pounds. Well, what does that mean? What are you looking at? Well, if I'm going to lose 50 pounds, I'm going to look at a scale. But you and I both know that the scale's not telling the story, because right. when you're trying to lean out and get ripped, oh, wait, I've just added two more goals that right. I'm going to fail at because I'm looking at the wrong thing. So we keep adding all of these goals and we keep adding all of these resolutions, but we're still looking at the wrong identifiers, the wrong markers. Sure. And I think that happens to us a lot. And I think that that's part of what I hope to, in the next several episodes, I hope to help people with, hey, what's the vision look like? And what are the steps that we can take to hit that, to get there? Ted Williams had three rules of hitting. And he said, Ted Williams is the greatest hitter of all time.
Was he?
He said, rule number one, get a good ball to hit. So for us, that would be, what is a habit that takes you towards your goal? Not just any random habit that you're just running around doing something. Those things can provide you with structure. That's good. But if it's not, if my goal is to squat heavy and I'm eating salads and doing body weight squats, that's not achieving my goal. Yeah, sure. My watch said I burned this many calories and I've only eaten salads. Okay, well, you're not going to squat 500 pounds. So the second one is, so that's rule number one, get a good ball to hit.
Got it. It makes sense. Yep.
Rule number two, be quick with the bat. That goes back to what you were saying. Start now.
Execute. Yeah.
Execute. Be quick with the bat. Make your decision. Recognize the pitch and see ball, hit ball is what we call in baseball. See ball, hit ball. Recognize it and go. Excuse me. So that's in your preparation. What are you doing in your preparation so that when the moment comes, you act now? What are you doing in your everyday life so that when you have that thought, I'm going to start tomorrow, instead of starting tomorrow, I'm going to start now?
Yeah.
That's what I see, rule number two. So find the habit, takes you towards your goal, act now, so start now. And then the third rule was proper thinking. And that's easy to translate over. Proper thinking. Think properly. I think I can't, whether you say I can't or I can. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. Because it begins with that thought, which turns into
your affirmations. Right.
And it becomes your belief. You're saying something to yourself over and over and over again. I'm not good enough. I'm slow. I'm fat. I'm whatever. And that eventually you're going to believe that. You're going to believe it. So.
Absolutely.
I think that when I train, one of the best, I love training people with a compound movement, with a power lift, because you have that, let's say it's a power clean. There are so many things that you can look at in a power clean and so many things you can fix to improve a power clean. You can work on mobility. You can work on strength. You can work on everything. There's so many different things you can work on. So within that, hey, let's set this goal of a successful power clean with added weight. There are so many things that we can find our limitations and we can work on those things leading up. And then at the end, that's just the end result. That's just showing me that everything that I've done leading up to this point has worked. And if people can find more goals like that,
sure,
that have incremental goals to it, I think people would stay committed longer to those
goals. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, thinking back to when, I mean, going back when you trained to that point, I mean, I never knew how to power clean, hang clean. I didn't even know how to squat properly, lift properly. And when you got there to Sweet Home, that is, I mean, you would kind of evaluate how we squatted or started with hang cleans, and you would just break it down. You know, if my elbows weren't coming through and my wrists were stiff, or for anybody rather, I mean, then you would, this is to you what you did for us. Like, you would focus on that one thing that wasn't clicking, that one tiny incremental issue on an individual basis, and you would identify that. You were always so good at that.
And, thank you.
And of course, and have us focus on that. And then once you started seeing these things kind of come through and it started becoming unconscious or subconscious, whatever the right word is, then you say, okay, let's try that lift again, or let's take it to the next step. And that was just my experience. And I think continuing, whether it's mentally, physically, because physically is only a part of it, spiritually, you know, incorporating that on every level in every part of our lives. I mean, that's what we all need. Totally agree. Went on a little rant there, but.
Well, I mean, it's, you have goals and people's, it's crazy to think, but people's goals might be limiting their success. And I say that because included. They're the wrong goals.
Like, me included. Yeah.
if we're doing the wrong thing, it's not taking us any closer. And so compound movements, I like to say, provide compound interest. You're not going to see, I'm not going to put a bar in your hand. And if you have stiff wrists, if you have stiff ankles, if your posture's terrible, I can put more load on you. But if all those things are wrong, you're just going to reinforce those wrong things.
Right. You're going to strengthen those.
Strengthen those incorrect things.
Right.
So now if I can take a step back and do those small things, you have that.
Sure.
That small thing leads to bigger things down the road. And so that's where you get that compound interest where,
right,
like Dave Ramsey talks about it. You have this tiny bit that you invest at 23 years old, but by the time you're 50 or 55 or 65, you're retiring with millions of dollars in your bank account. And part of that is that it's hard to delay gratification. If you can't delay gratification, you're going
to, that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be too much. It's going to be, and that's where I compare the old engine, because the old engine was going on willpower. And then if you're just going on willpower, you exhaust yourself and you don't have any energy left.
Right.
That's where you have people who are doing power cleans and heavy lifts and everything, who are doing it incorrectly, and they don't want to take the time to do the regressions because they're doing less weight because they want to impress people online. And so then you break your back and then you're out. And if we always say in strength and conditioning, if you're not healthy, you can't practice. If you can't practice, you can't play. And so the goal is first to be healthy. Again, that's establishing your vision, having that in front of you, and then creating disciplines consistent with that vision and establishing a routine around that. And that's what I want to accomplish in the next several episodes of this, is helping people, walk people through. So I want, but we first have to understand where we are, right? Where are we at this point, at this moment? Not looking at, I know what I'm eventually, what my vision is going to somewhat look like, but if my goal is to be an NBA player and I don't look at myself now and take full assessment of where I am.
Yeah.
You're picking something that's picking out a vision that's wrong.
Right.
That's another thing that people do. I'm going to pick out a vision that's wrong for me because my motives are wrong. And then I'm going to also pick disciplines that don't line up with the vision. So there's these different things. I can pick a vision that's wrong. I can pick a discipline that's wrong. I could pick a vision that's right and the discipline's wrong. I could pick the wrong vision and the right disciplines for that vision. But if I'm not the person that can accomplish that. So
back to the drawing board. Yeah.
Back to the drawing board. And so that's what I kind of want to do. So I'll have stuff on the website and people will be able to go to it. It's hiltsystems.com. And the first thing that I have on there. So
I have on there, hiltsystems.com. You're going to be able to find podcasts on that link, on that site. Then you'll be able to find a link to workouts that I post. Then you'll also be able to find a link to the mental conditioning stuff, stuff that we're working on right now. And so the first thing is, I have a video on there talking about where to begin. And then I have a little kind of inventory that people can take to find out what their current disciplines are. So if
this somebody's the more interactive part of it.
Yeah. So if somebody's listening to this right now, I would say to them, hey, go to hiltsystems.com, click the link to the mental conditioning, and you'll see on there this episode of the podcast, and below it, you'll see that interactive part. You can go on there, look at watch the video. It's about 2.5 minutes long. And then there's a survey to take for yourself. And it's basically just saying, okay, what disciplines am I doing right now? And for this exercise, a discipline is going to consist of, it's simple. What am I doing 4 out of 7 days? What am I purposely doing or accidentally doing 4 out of 7 days that might be ingraining those patterns into me? Right. And then what's going to allow you to do is allow you to see, okay, well, if what I want to accomplish is X and I'm doing D and I should be doing A, maybe I need to reevaluate that. So people can go on there, hiltsystems.com, and check that out. That's your call to action for this, the assessment and disciplines. But yeah, I mean, those little things, those tiny things, those compound movements turn into compound interest. Those are the things, that's how you avoid that situation where your goals are becoming your limitations. So
yeah, absolutely. Taking it slow, valuing patience, which is the hardest thing to do. I mean, those are the major ingredients to make it work, and just staying focused. I mean, you can go round and round, but to have a platform like this, again, with a coach and a mentor that knows exactly how to approach these steps properly, I think that's where everyone needs to start for anyone that, you know, wants to be dedicated, wants to approach it the right way, and wants to have longevity in their goals.
Awesome. Well, Nick, we'll come back again and build on this. I hope that somebody was able to get something out of this one. I hope I'm sharing this with my athletes. So they need to hear this stuff as much as I need to hear it. But thanks for having this conversation. Brings energy to me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. I need it probably more than even you do, but we all need it together.
So. We all need it together.
Yeah.
All right. We'll catch up soon.
All right, sir. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Discipline Over Fear. We hope that you gained something from this episode and that we were able to add some value to your day and perhaps even change your perspective on some things in a positive way. If you liked it, please share it with somebody you think might benefit from it. And be sure to follow us on social media platforms at Joel Patrick Fit. And also visit our website, hiltsystems.com. You can click through at the mental conditioning portion of their website and watch the video we spoke about in this episode. And you can also take the assessment on disciplines. We look forward to seeing you next time. And as always, accept the challenges so that you can feel the exhilaration of victory. And always choose discipline over fear.
You can't please.
When the physical, mental, and emotional don't line up, there's confusion. But you're not confused. Your vision fuels your every action. Because you know something the timid don't. That mere words will never prove your desire. You know the proof of desire is in the pursuit. So go out and create your vision.